Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, as we celebrate this Mother's Day, I want to share with some of you one of my favorite Mother's Day stories. When I was pastoring in Memphis at the Faith Church, and some of our faith friends are probably listening today, in the early 2000s, Manya and I had been doing some yard work, kind of like we did yesterday, and I was out on Saturday morning before that Sunday morning worship of Mother's Day, and the FedEx delivery man came driving up. He was almost on two wheels. He was going real fast, and he jumped off his truck and ran and placed something on our porch, and I could tell he was in an awful hurry, and I said, "Busy day?" He said, "Yes, this is the second busiest weekend of the year, right behind Christmas, Mother's Day weekend." As he jumped on his truck and started up and was driving off, I said, "How about Father's Day?" He yelled out the window as he rushed away, "Oh, it's about like any other day." So it is on Mother's Day. We take care of Mama because Mama takes care of us. Isn't that the essence of our relationship together? When we experience love from someone, we want to return it. Not because we have to, but it's natural. It's our response. It's part of growing our love for them as they grow their love into us. Well, you know, in this scripture today, we're giving a symbol of God's amazing love for us. And I pray for any of you today, as we heard those words that said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." If there are those of us today who are listening to this sermon, maybe these words of life today for us are meant to be a gift of God's grace and whisper of that still small voice to comfort us in our troubles. You see, here's what the Lord says. When we simply believe in Jesus Christ, when we put our hope in Him, we have life, love, and joy forever. You know, maybe for many of us who've never really embraced that relationship with Christ, we certainly find that hard to believe, and we try to measure our belief and say, "Do I have enough faith? How can simply putting our trust in someone, regardless of what we do, how can that one be our Savior and give us the gift of life and forgiveness of our sins forever?" You know, we're not the first to ask those questions. There was once a person in Scripture when Jesus said, "Simply trust in me." And he said this in response to Jesus. He said, "Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief." You know, I found that comfort to me in my troubled at times in life. When my faith wasn't enough, to know that Jesus, the very one that we put our faith in, helps us to believe too. And here's why it's possible, friends, that I understand. Why is simply trusting in Jesus enough for the gift of life and love forever? Because it's not so much the power in our belief, but it's the power in the one we believe in. You see, that's the beauty of life in God. The gift of salvation is truly a gift. It's nothing impacting God's relationship with us or our relationship with God based upon what we do. It's all about what God has done for us. You know, I love the words in our text where Jesus is quoted and he says, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. or in the New Revised Translation here, there are many dwelling places. I remember traveling to the Holy Land, my father and I, with our friend Bob Rambo and Susie and others. And as we traveled along Galilee, that rural area, much like Tippah County or Aldsboro, Alabama, it was a very quaint place. And we saw the ruins of an old home place there in Galilee. And in Galilee, you could see there that the house had a main central area, but on the sides of the house were several other sectioned off rooms. And what Bob explained to us was that in the first century world, the matriarch or patriarch of the family built their house and the children built upon it, built onto it. You see, they were a part of the dwelling place too. Would you receive with me what Jesus is saying in our text today? He's saying to you, dear soul, you who are troubled with whatever worries or concerns, he's saying to any of us who will hear and receive that God's house is your house, that you too are invited to build upon the dwelling place of our Lord's love. Wow. God is saying to us, we are part of the family. We're not just distant and clinical creations by God. We are God's children, dear church. That's why the power of our belief makes possible our salvation, because of God's amazing grace and love. As we think about that gift of God's grace and the life and love, I know still there are many of us that find this challenge of simply trusting in Christ for the gift of life and love and what we call salvation. But you know, I'm grateful for a great example in our modern world called reverse engineering. Now, there's more profound ways to explain reverse engineering than I'm going to share with you today. But in some respect, reverse engineering is when you take a product or a tool that's already been designed, already been proven, you know it works, and then you use what it's taught you to build something else, or you make a new one, a repair part. You see, it's reverse of the normal process. In traditional manufacturing, you have to believe something's going to work before you build it. Reverse engineering, you see that it works, and then you put your trust in building another. Friends, hear this with me. As you are maybe troubled with decisions or faith, or whatever peril or crisis may be plaguing you most today, our Lord says to us, if you can't believe that the Father is in me and I am in the Father, this is what Jesus said in the text. See, he said, believe in the works that have been done. You know what I hear him saying? He's saying to me, if this is Greek to you, if this simple believing in Jesus and trusting your life with him doesn't really make sense, then trust in what is shown already through Jesus, and that is love. In other ways, try reverse engineering. Like anyone who purchases an automobile, they go and they take it for a test run. They drive it. They see if it performs the way they want it to before they put their trust, their investment into us. So friends, Jesus is saying to us, give my faith a chance. If you have a hard time believing, then simply try practicing what I teach and see if your belief may grow from experiencing my love. Isn't that cool? So let's focus on what he tells us today of what we can try practicing in our faith that may help us in our belief and help deliver us from our trouble. He says here today, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, when I think of Jesus saying to us that I am the way, I'm mindful of a story that I've shared with some of you before. When Manya and I, Noah and Luke, were living in St. Louis, I'd come home by myself one weekend. And I was driving back to the St. Louis area and talking on my cell phone. And as any of us do, sometimes when we're on our cell phones, we can get distracted. And as I was leaving the suburbs of Memphis, I was heading out on I-55, and there comes a place where there's a fork in the road where you have to fork to go 55 north, and if you don't, you go 40 west toward Little Rock. Well, on my cell phone, amidst my distractions, I missed the fork in the road. I continued on west, and I got all the way down the interstate, working as I went, talking on the phone, and suddenly I saw a sign on the side of the interstate that said Little Rock, 30 miles away. So I pulled over to the side of the road, called my trusty navigator, my dad, and I said, "Dad, if you were going to St. Louis from Little Rock, what would be the best way to get there?" He pulled over and looked at his map, and after a few minutes, he told me the news I didn't want to hear. He said, "Jody, it looks like the best way to get from Little Rock to St. Louis is to go to Memphis." I had to turn around, go back the very path I'd traveled, because I went the wrong way. Friends, our scripture says to us, Jesus says, "I am the way." Friends, I'm not just preaching to you as someone who simply feels that I should interpret this text, but I'm sharing this message today as one who've experienced trusting in Jesus for the path of my life. I found the right way. You know, when I traveled on my own and trusted my own navigation, I got a lot more lost than a journey going to Little Rock. There was no happiness, no joy. Stress, depression was always near, knocking on my door. But when I trusted the way that Jesus had laid out for me to live out His love for Him and for others, I knew the true path, the way to joy in this life. May you taste and see. And I believe it will help you grow in your life and joy. Jesus also says, not only does He tell us, "I'm the way," but He says, "I am the truth." You know, I find that comforting, because we live in a world where there are many lies around us. The world that seeks to deceive us, to tell us we're not good enough, that we can't measure up. We strive to impress those around us by living to the world's opinion of us. And so often, the biggest lies come from the lies we tell ourselves. You know, Manya and I have been great fans of a book called The Lies We Believe. And in that story, this Christian psychiatrist, Chris Thurman, says, when we place unrealistic expectation, perfectionism, trying to live up to standards that are unable to attain, we lie to ourselves. He encourages us to embrace the truth, that still small voice of God that says, "I love you as my child, just as you are. And through my grace, I want to make you even more through my love." Friends, God says, "I'm the truth." Would you trust that truth and strive to embrace in every way you can the gift of Christ's love and know the joy of living and believing in Him? You know, Manya and I, we have our trusty Datsun named Dash, and Noah and Luke, we all love on that boy, and he's just got a little bit of an eating disorder. He's kind of like his daddy. He likes to eat stuff he doesn't need to eat. Well, we've put him on a diet. And he's also been having to take medication lately. Now, we do mix a little bit of his liquid amoxicillin with whipped cream just for a treat to make sure we get it all down. But here's the problem. Nobody can give him his medicine except for his mama, Manya. Well, we understand why that is, right? He trusts her more than the rest of us. And why does he trust her? Because she is his mama. She gave birth to him. No, not literally. But she is her. She is his person. And he trusts the mother in his life. See, friends, on this Mother's Day, I'm grateful that there's no greater example, I think, on this earth of God's love than that of a mother. The mother for a child. The mother that we trust, who's nurtured us and shown us the love of our Lord. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus himself, when he spoke of his love, said this, "Oh, how I love the people Israel, and I yearn to embrace them as a mother hen shelters her chicks." You see, Jesus understood that that great gift of a mother's love helped to explain his love for us. You see, we trust the mothers because they've proven to be trustworthy. And Jesus is saying to me, trust in me, sample my love, embrace my way, and you too, people of faith, you too, children of God, will come to trust more in the life-giving love found in me that never ends. May we see and give God a chance and see if we find our Savior to be just as trustworthy as our earthly mother and embracing us with even a more fervent amount of love. Finally, our text says this. Not only does Jesus say, "I'm the way, the truth," but he also says, "I'm the life." One other reason, friends, for us to trust God to comfort us in our trouble, because he'll lead us in the right way, because he is truthful and we can trust in him against the lies of the world and those we tell ourselves. But Jesus is the one who gave us life in the beginning and life that never ends. Here's what I mean. Last night we had a nice meal here at the house and we grilled steaks. Noah came home and Noah and Luke and I and Manya cooked those steaks, and Noah's gotten the age where he wants to help me grill. So I put a little bit of marinade upon the steaks, and then Noah tweaked it significantly. He came up with a new concoction, and we put it on the steaks during the grilling process and after the grilling process, and after he put all of his special seasonings on the steaks, he took his first bite, and you know what he said? "That is the best steak I've ever eaten." Well, I think you and I know the secret. I know the steak was good last night, but it was especially pleasing to Noah because he had created it. He was the maker of that delicious steak. See, friends, we are partial to the things we create in life. You see, I think that's why mothers are so partial to us and are such a great example of God's love, because they made us. We are special and beautiful in their sight. Friends, hear these words of life. In a far greater way than Noah created that steak, and in even a deeper and life-giving love than the mothers around us, Almighty God created us. And because we were created by a loving Lord in heaven, that love, that grace will never end. God's love is so great for us that Jesus lived and died that we may have life, love, and joy forever simply by believing and trusting in His life-giving love. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we're grateful for Jesus Christ, our Savior. And as I pray now today, Lord, I lift up especially any of those who are troubled spiritually, finding it hard to believe today. May we simply know that in admitting that we need a deliverer, we have tried living life on our own. And though we've never trusted You with our life, God, we believe in love. We believe in the love of the mothers around us. We believe if there's anything that can conquer death and destruction forever, it is love. So God, I appeal to You with those who are seeking to trust in You for the first time. Will You receive their request right now to come into their life as they claim You as Lord and ask You to help them grow in their belief and understanding that by simply trusting in You in this very moment, our life, our love, our joy is eternal from this moment and forevermore. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. It is such an honor to offer you these words of life. I pray you've been comforted and been inspired today to trust Jesus more with the way of your life, with the truth in your life, and the life that never ends. Now I'm going to leave you one final blessing of Scripture. That the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance, His gaze upon you, and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.